Welcome to the Sunday Poems. I'm Ken Hayda. Thank you for joining me today, episode number 206. I'm going to read today from a really fascinating anthology titled Against Forgetting, 20th Century Poetry of Witness, edited by the magnificent Carolyn Forché. In this book, Forché collects 145 different poets who are writing poetry of witness. Poetry of witness being experiences that the poets have witnessed, have lived through, observed, endured, mainly about war. I guess it's fair to say the 20th century has been a bloody century of conflict. This book collects these witness poems from 145 different voices. It's a tremendous anthology published by Norton in 1993. I could not recommend it more. I'm going to return to this quite a bit in the succeeding programs. I'm going to start today with the Hungarian poet Miklós Radnóti and talk about and read some of his poems. First, I want to give you a little bit of a biography that Forché has provided for us. Radnóti was orphaned by the age of 11. His first book of poetry appeared in 1930. His second book, after completing it, Radnóti was tried for, quote, effrontery to public modesty and incitement to rebellion, close quote, found guilty, and his books were confiscated. He was forced into military labor intermittently from 1940 until his death. In 44, he was sent to Yugoslavia to construct a railway, but was forced marched with 3,000 other men back to Hungary because of the advancing Red Army. In November of 44, Radnóti and 20 other survivors of this march were put in the hands of Hungarian non-commissioned officers who, unable to place their charges at a local hospital, shot them. Radnóti's body was exhumed from a mass grave in 46. His widow, going through his pockets, discovered a notebook full of poems, which included the poems I'm going to read today. That's right, these poems were in his pocket. He was shot and buried in a mass grave. 2 years later, his body was exhumed, and these poems were in his pocket. These poems are not only a tremendous testimony to what Radnóti witnessed, but they also bear a lasting tribute to the ideal of love and his wife that he is longing to return to. These are incredible poems. The first one is titled Forced March. The man who, having collapsed, rises, takes steps, is insane. He'll move an ankle, a knee, an errant mass of pain, and take to the road again, as if wings were to lift him high. In vain the ditch will call him. He simply dare not stay. And should you ask, why not, perhaps you'll turn and answer, his wife is waiting back home. And a death, one beautiful, wiser. But see, the wretch is a fool, for over the homes, that world, long since nothing but singed winds have been known to whirl. His house wall lies supine, your plum tree broken clear, and all the nights back home horripilate with fear. Oh, if I could believe that I haven't merely borne what is worthwhile in my heart, that there is to return a home. Tell me it's all still there. The cool veranda, bees of peaceful silence buzzing while the plum jam cooled, where over sleepy gardens, summer in peace sunbathed, and among bough and foliage, fruits were swaying naked. And blonde, my Fanny waited before the redwood fence with morning slowly tracing its shadowed reticence. But all that could still be, tonight the moon is so round. Don't go past me, my friend. Shout, and I'll come around. The second is titled, Letter to My Wife. Down in the deep, dumb worlds are waiting silent. I shout, the silence in my ears is strident, but no one can reply to it from afar Serbia. fallen into a swoon of war, and you are far, my dream. Your voice, entwined by day, I find it in my heart again. Knowing this, I keep still while standing proudly, rustling, cool to the touch, many great ferns surround me. When may I see you? I hardly know any longer. You, who were solid, were weighty as the Psalter, beautiful as a shadow, and beautiful as light. To whom I would find my way, whether deaf, mute, or blind, now hiding in the landscape from within. On my eyes you flash, the mind projects its film. You were reality, returned to dream, and fallen back into the well of my teen years. Jealously question you, whether you love me, whether on my youth summit you will yet be my wife. I am now hoping once again, and back on life's alert road where I have fallen, I know you are all this, my wife, my friend, and peer, only far. Beyond three wild frontiers, it is turning fall. Will fall forget me here? The memory of our kisses is all the clearer. I believed in miracles, I forgot their days. Above me I see a bomber squadron cruise. I was just admiring, up there, your eyes' blue sheen, when it clouded over, and up in that machine the bombs were aching to dive. Despite them, I am alive, a prisoner. And all that I had hoped for, I have sized up in breadth. I will find my way to you. For you I have walked the spirit's full length as it grew, and highways of the land. If need be, I will render myself a conjurer past cardinal embers amid nose-diving flames. But I will come back, if I must be. I shall be resilient as the bark on trees. I am soothed by the peace of savage men in constant danger, worth the whole wild regiment of arms and power. And as from a cooling wave of the sea, sobriety's 2x2 comes raining down on me. Peace, horror. As I stepped out the doorway, it was 10 o'clock. A baker on a shiny wheel swept by. He sang. Above, a plane was droning. Sun shone. 10 o'clock. My aunt who died came back to mind, and all the souls I'd loved, who live no more, were flying overhead. Darkly, a host of the silent dead flew by above. And suddenly a shadow fell along the wall. In silence, morning halted. It was 10 o'clock. Peace hung along the street. A touch of horror, too. Picture postcards. Number one. From Bulgaria, thick, wild cannon pounding rolls. It strikes the mountain ridge, then hesitates and falls. A piled up blockage of thoughts, animals, carts, and men, whinnying. The road rears up. The sky runs with its mane. In this chaos of movement, you're in me, permanent. Deep in my conscience, you shine. Motion forever spent and mute, like an angel awed by death's great carnival, or an insect in rotted tree pith, staging its funeral. 2. 9 kilometers from here, the haystacks and houses are burning. Sitting on the field's edges, some scared and speechless poor folk are smoking. Here a little shepherdess stepping onto the lake still ruffles the water. The ruffled sheep flock at the water, drinks from its clouds, bending over. 3. Bloody saliva hangs on the mouths of the oxen. Blood shows in every man's urine. The company stands in wild knots, stinking. Death blows overhead, revolting. 4. I fell beside him. His body turned over, already taut as a string about to snap, shot in the back of the neck. That's how you too will end, I whispered to myself. Just lie quietly. Patience now flowers into death. Der Sprink noch auf, a voice said above me, on my ear, blood dried, mixed with filth. The phrase, der springt noch auf, roughly translated, that one's still twitching, still kicking. In other words, still alive. And a final poem from Miklós Radnóti, seventh eclogue. Look how evening descends, and around us the barbed wire hemmed wild oaken fence, and the barracks are weightless as evening absorbs them. Slowly the glance loses hold on the frame of our captive condition. Only the mind, it alone is alive to the tautness of wire. See, love, fantasy here, it too can attain to its freedom only through dream. That comely redeemer who frees our broken bodies. It's time, and the men in prison camp leave for their homes now. Ragged, with shaven heads, these prisoners, snoring aloud, fly, leaving Serbia's blind peak, back to their fugitive homesteads. Fugitive homesteads, right? Oh, does that home still exist now? Still untouched by bombs, as it stood back when we reported? And will the men who now groan on my right, lie left, make it home yet? Is there a home where people can savor hexameter language? No diacritics, just one line under another line, groping, barely, as I am alive. I write my poem in half dark, blindly, in earthworm rhythm. I'm inching along on the paper. Flashlights, books. The guards of the lager took everything from us, nor does the mail ever come. Only fog settles over the barracks. Here among rumors and worms all live, be they Frenchmen or Polish, loud-voiced Italian, partisan Serb, sad Jew, in the mountains, bodies hacked and in fever, yet one life that all live in common, waiting for good news, a womanly word, for a fate free and human, waiting the end, plumbing viscous dusk, or miracles, maybe. Worm-ridden, captive beast, that is just how I lie on the bunk board. Fleas will renew their siege. The battalion of flies is asleep now. Evening is here. Once again, our serfdom has grown a day shorter. So have our lives. The camp is asleep. On mountain and valley, bright moon shines. In its light, once more, all the wires pull together, and through the window you see how the shadows of camp's armed pacing sentries are thrown on the wall in the midst of the night's lone voices. Camp is asleep. Dear one, can you see us? The dreams come rustling, starting. One will snort on his back, turn over, sleeping again. His face shines, lonely the vigil I'm keeping. In my mouth I taste that half-smoked cigarette, not your kisses, and dreams won't come. No sleep will come to relieve me, since I can face neither death nor a life any longer without you. These poems, I reiterate, were in the pocket of Miklós Radnóti. He's shot, buried in a mass grave. 2 years later, his body is exhumed, and these poems are taken from his pocket. It's an incredible story. It's a lovely yearning for love and for freedom. These poems, translated by Emery George from the Hungarian, I think remind us, as we here in the United States celebrate the 4th of July, should remind us of the ugly assault of fascism. Incredible witness. I'm Ken Hayda. You can find information about my work, my books, my upcoming readings at kenhayda.org. Until next week, I'm Ken Hayda with the Sunday Poems.